I was like, can you hear me? And he was like, are you there? By the way, for whoever's wondering what the heck we're talking about, I am currently driving across the country.
And
I'm super mad at you.
Me?
By the way. Yes, you.
What did I do?
Well, you're not riding with me like you did last time.
Oh.
That's why I'm mad at you. Love you. Hey, but this long super duper trip has gave me a lot of time to listen to other podcasts.
That's good. Who have you been listening to?
Well,
anybody
of course,
special?
Our sisters from another podcast, our buddies, the One More Crime. So I've been catching up with them. And then there's a couple more other ones that are not crimesters, because then I kind of get freaked out, like going into different cities, listening to murder or serial killers. And I'm like, man, I hope I don't go into this gas station and I'm the next one. So I kind of quit listening to them for a little bit and started concerting it out. And then now I'm going to hear more stories that we're doing. Who's missing today?
Hold on, I'm writing in our calendar the people that we're doing and when we're doing it. Okay. Alrighty.
You know, okay, little side note. After listening to other podcasts, I know I've read in some other pages and stuff that they're like, oh, blah, 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 blah. I had to go like 30 minutes before I heard the story. But here's the thing. We're not the only ones that rambled before, so I don't even care anymore. Because sometimes that's even like my favorite part of the podcast is hearing other people's conversations.
Exactly. And I feel like that's how you get to know the podcasters.
Us.
Yeah. That's how you gain that like friendly bond. And it's like, ooh, it's like
they're
we
like
know
me.
Them without knowing them. It's like
right.
We're besties.
Yeah. Like our podcasty sisties.
Yeah, it's like we've never met them, but we love them. We're going to do a podcast with them in a couple weeks.
Well, when this airs, we would already have done it, right?
True, because this
so
No, this one is actually going to air the week before. So we good.
But this is on our Patreon page.
Oh, yeah. The first
so when it airs on our regular
page.
Hey, listen to what's on our Patreon page before it actually hits.
Yeah.
They're going to be like,
y'all did that episode like 2 months ago, 3 months ago. Yeah. Oops.
So
we time travel when we podcast, basically.
I literally have time traveled. I have gained an extra hour by time traveling because the time zone.
Oh. But are you ready for this story? Our first story? All right.
Ready. Keep me entertained and do not put me to sleep like the one podcast on the way home last time. I'm like, I literally had to pull over and was like, you've got to drive.
Well, hopefully these sound good because literally I've never wrote two stories in like a 24, 48 hour period. So that's what I did today and yesterday. So hopefully they make sense. Fingers crossed.
Well, here's the thing. At least you're reading and not me. So if it don't make sense, it's on you and not me.
Yeah, I guess so. Because I was just like, blah, 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 writing them out and I didn't go back to reread it through. So.
Oh, and by the way, also on the time that I've had, I listened to the ones that I read, and you totally do not edit it like you do yours, and you make me sound stupid. You literally leave me rereading the script, and I'm like, she makes me look like an idiot. As if she would have done it, she would have took that part out to sound like legit, and I'm like, blah, 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 blah. Okay, let me reread that. Oh, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, thanks.
I know I did it for like 1 or 2 days because I thought it was funny.
Yeah.
Like,
okay.
I thought it was funny. Don't
judge okay, me. The one was funny, but the other one, I'm just like, why did she not edit that out? She's about to get fired.
I might have skipped that
one. You want to go ahead and get started with our story?
Yeah, I do. So today's story that I have for you, Tamara, is heartbreaking to me. You know, we don't really go into like child's deaths, but this is a missing. So,
oh, don't do that.
On July 6, 2001, Tracy Bradley did not only just lose one kid. Two out of four of her daughters are missing.
No.
Yeah. So on the morning of July 6, Tracy Bradley was getting ready in her Southside Chicago apartment for work. She worked at Robert Taylor Park, where she made lunches for kids who went to a summer camp program. So Tracy's had four daughters. Like I said, none of the four daughters went to the summer program. I could not find the age of her oldest daughter, but her oldest daughter's name was Rita. She had a daughter.
Let me stop you right there. Personally, if I had kids missing, I wouldn't want any of my kids' information on, like, other than the two that are missing that I'm trying to find, I would not want anybody else to have any information on my other kids. So props to her on that.
Yeah. And she had Rita. She had Victoria, who was nine. And those two was staying with their grandmother. And then she had Tiana, who was 10, and Diamond, who was three. And they were staying at her apartment. Everyone planned
by herself?
Yeah. While she was at work, they were by themselves. So everyone was planning to meet
up.
A 10-year-old. So Bray's age and a 3-year-old.
Okay, you just threw a lot of numbers at me.
The oldest, a 9-year-old.
I'm sorry.
Was at the grandma's.
I love my Bray, but he is not babysitting by himself.
No. You know, there was no way I would leave a 10-year-old. So everyone was planning on meeting up later for a picnic and going on a camping trip in Indiana. So right now, Diamond's dad, George, who was staying the night to help Tracy with the kids, was getting ready to drop Tracy
off at work. Man, you still got the word vomit, huh?
Alert, 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 alert. Yeah, it was like a lot of doop-de-doop-de-doops in there. He was helping Tracy and dropping her off at work. Boop, 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 boop. Okay. So after Tracy finally gets to work, or before Tracy goes to work, she gets the kids breakfast. She told Tiana, remember, do not open the door for anyone while I'm gone. She kissed him on the forehead, told him goodbye, locked the apartment door, and left for work around 6:30. Later that morning, around 8 o'clock, Tracy calls Tiana to check in, but she does not answer the phone. Tracy's not happy about this, but she assumes the girls went back to sleep. No big deal, and she goes back to work.
Wait, at what time?
At 8 a.m.
Holy cow, so just a little while difference after she left.
Yes. So George picks Tracy up from work during the time that she was working, like when he dropped her off or when she picked him up. He went to his other woman's house, and then he went to see his mom.
His other woman.
I don't know if, like, I don't know.
Is that was, chick?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know too much into their relationship details, but he went to another woman's house, is what a news article said, and he went to visit his mama's, yeah. So, if he was creeping, that's a way to find out. But so he goes back, picks her up from work, and then they arrive back at the apartment around 11 a.m. After they get there, she unlocks the door, and first thing she does is start yelling out for her daughters, but no one answers. Tracy calls out again, a little bit louder, and then her heart begins to sink as they search the apartment. After Tracy and George go through all the rooms looking frantically for the daughters, Tracy knew something was wrong. Tiana would never leave the apartment without an adult. Today's podcast is presented to you by Podgo. Podgo is the easiest way for you to monetize your podcast, providing podcasters with a flat rate for ad space, so you always know how much you're going to get when you include an ad from Podgo.
Apply today and become a member and immediately be contacted with advertisers to fit your audience. That's podgo.co at podgo.co. And make sure you add our podcast in the How Did You Hear About Podgo section of the application.
Guess what they found in the apartment?
Evidence that somebody was there.
They found a note. A note was left on the back of a couch. And I don't know exactly what this note said. I don't think cops really released what this note said. But it basically, to an extent, it said that they were going somewhere.
How the heck was I supposed to guess that there was a note left? I'm thinking some man's jacket, some weapon, like something, not a note.
Well, I thought you was going to think a ransom letter.
Something written down was the last thing I was thinking of.
But, so, I've seen where the girls wrote that they were going to go to a store. Then I seen where they were going to go to a playground. Who really knows where they went, but the note was
It's probably set up, like, the person's like, write a letter so they know. Like,
yeah. And we'll get more into that later on in the story. I'm just saying. But and you're going to be like, what the heck? But in my notes, I put, like, unlike us as kids, they were super close growing up. We didn't become super close until we hit, like, teens and 20s. But they were super close for the 7-year age gap between the two. They always played together, or one was, the other was.
And okay, to be fair, you hated having siblings until you were just like, all right, there's four of us now. I better get over it. I guess I'll like you.
Yeah, I guess so. But they were super, super close. So soon as they saw this note, her mom knew immediately. She's like, they were kidnapped. And this is what I think is kind of weird. But she started immediately running through the neighborhood. That part I don't think is weird, because anytime Bray just, like, bebops out the house and doesn't tell me exactly, like, where he's going, which he's 10 and he thinks he's 40 because he just comes and goes out the door all the time. But what was that? Was that a car passing you? All I heard was vroom.
It was two crotch rockets.
Oh. But, like, I will go chasing after the house trying to figure out where Bray's at. I'm like, excuse me, mister, you have to tell me if you're going outside to play or if you're going to your friend's house. Like, you can't just, like, leave. But she runs out and she's searching everywhere for the girls. But the part where I think is weird is, remember, she got home that morning around 11. She didn't call the police and report the girls missing until, like, 6:30.
What?
Yeah.
That gives whoever even more time to, like, get away.
Yeah. I feel like I would probably, if it was me, look around the area, like, where I live, and after maybe 20 minutes of
You know what I would do? No. If I go home and I see that letter and I'm like, instantly, they've been kidnapped. No, you betcha, I'm going to call the cops. And then as the cops are on their way, I'm going to say, you can find me around the neighborhood looking for. I'm going door to door saying, did you see anything? Did you see anything? Did you see anything? But them cops better best be on their way and be looking.
Yeah.
But I'm going to give it any more time.
I was thinking, like, there's no way I could give it that much time. I mean, maybe 30 minutes, but 30 minutes is, like, the most time I would give it, you know? But I just thought that was a little weird, like a little, okay. But, I mean, something I wouldn't do, but okay, I guess. But police, once they arrived, they took it serious. And by the next day, they had a huge investigation going on. Police spent all day Saturday night canvassing the whole entire apartment complex with the housing officials. They handed out flyers with pictures of the girls. They were asking everybody, did they see anything? Did they know anything of where they might be? They searched any and everywhere that the girls possibly could have been. In the early days of the investigation, they thought the girls might have wandered.
Props to those cops.
Exactly. Like, they did everything. So the cops were like, okay, maybe the girls wandered off a little bit from where they said they were going in the note. Hence, remember I said I didn't know exactly, so it could have been a store, it could have been a park. So cops were like, we'll kind of search everywhere. Well, the girls lived about a half a mile away from one of the largest beaches on Lake Michigan. So cops were focusing a lot of energy on this beach, thinking maybe the girls somehow got there. By the 8th, Marine units were searching the lakes. Helicopters were swarming overhead looking for the girls. Honestly, I was happy with how big they made this case. Like, they jumped quick on this case. And at some points of the investigation, Tracy didn't quite cooperate with the police. This raised a lot of eyebrows with the public. So, in the very, very beginning, Tracy actually changed her story of what happened. She initially told the cops that she was at home sleeping when the girls went missing. And then later on, eventually came out and said, okay, I lied. I wasn't sleeping. I was
okay. What if she was scared to get like arrested for child neglect? If they would have found out that she left a 10-year-old and a 3-year-old at home alone, maybe she was scared to say that. Mm-hmm. And then it kind of questioned up to, okay, if you were at home, why would they not come to you and wake you up and tell you? Or how did you not hear that somebody was breaking in? Like, mm-hmm. those would be my two questions. And maybe that's why she confessed to, okay, I really wasn't at home. Like, don't blame this on me. But I was scared because I didn't want to get charged for leaving my kids at home.
Yeah. I mean, that's basically kind of what I have in my notes. I was like, you know, she has to be scared. She's a single mama. Do you really want to admit to the cops, you know, that you left a 3-year-old and a 10-year-old at home alone? Plus, she's probably worried about CPS getting involved and she's going to lose her other two daughters. I was just like, being a single mom is tough. I'm like, I did it for 4 years. Like, it's tough. And you don't, like, that's losing your kids is not something that you ever want to do.
Right. You know, okay, side note to being a side mom, not saying it wasn't hard for you or anything like that. But also another podcast that I was listening to was Coffee Combos. Mm-hmm. And I'm now passing that big old pyramid tower. So it kind of caught my eye. the big Bass Pro Shop tower. I mean, pyramid. So I'm almost in Arkansas. Ooh. Anyways, so off topic right there, so many ways. But she said that, or Lindsay made a comment that being a single mom and going through a lot of stuff must be really hard. But because, you know, Kel was married and she did the whole cope in her, with a parent and without, you know, being a single parent and all.
Yeah.
And she said she honestly would rather be a single mom is easier than to have another parent involved. And do you know her logic behind that? Just to see if, like, because you've kind of done both and I never have. So I don't really know.
I don't remember what she said. What did she say was the
Well, I'm asking, like, your opinion, if you think it's easier with help or not.
Oh.
But
I mean, honestly, I personally don't think it's easier. I guess if I didn't work, then I could understand, maybe. But working and having somebody help out, like, take care of Bray, to get Bray, you know, X, Y, Z. I feel like that's easier because, you know, me and Anthony have like a thing where it's like when I was working certain hours, he would pick Bray up, he would drop Bray off, I would blah, 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 blah. And yeah. So that makes it easier
than being a single parent and trying to adjust work schedule, home schedule, and everything to still okay. support your family.
I know this can be cut out or short, yeah. cut down or whatever, but and the reason I asked that, and it may be different because he's older, but she said her logic behind that was because of the resentment of having somebody there. If you're doing it strictly on your own, you just man up and you do it. But if you're supposed to have help and they don't help, that causes a lot of resentment. It makes it harder because you're like, hey, dude, change a diaper. Help me do this. I mean, like, I'm stuck with the kids all day. Can you not do something? Well, and see, I think I guess that was her reason to be like, well, if you're on your own, you're on your own and you just do it. But if you're getting mad at somebody else for not helping, I can see. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, see, during that stage, I was the single mom.
Yeah.
Was.
Anyways, back to your story.
All right. Let me get it powered back up. I done.
I was just
oh, hold on. We'll keep chatting. Like, apparently, our app is upgrading.
Oh my gosh. What app? The app that you have your story on?
Yeah, the app that I have my story on. It timed out as we were talking. And then in between that time, it decided it wants to update.
You know, side crazy note, as if I've been doing that the whole time. Talking about these stories, like, you know, it kind of freaks me out.
What?
What if I'm driving by and there's like some serial killer that has somebody in their trunk and I'm just driving past them like nothing ever happened? Like, that legit happened. I mean, not necessarily to me, but that legit happens. Like, they'll be taking them somewhere and somebody's in their trunk and you just never know.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I'm literally driving from one side of the East Coast all the way across I-40, the interstate that goes from the Carolinas to California.
Like, you've probably passed sometime a murderer.
Oh, wait a minute. I've sat face-to-face with murderers being a bondsman.
So another thing that Tracy did that people was, like, questioning is the cops wanted her to provide a, like, a sample of her writing to kind of prove that she didn't write the letter. She didn't want to at first. Then, which I don't see this being.
Why?
I don't know.
And I mean, that's just suspicious.
Yeah. Well, a few things that she does is a little suspicious, but she's never listed as a suspect.
But, okay, that's where you got wrong. You need to, I guess I got to hear more of the story of why. But if this is all suspicious, I mean, if it's a kid's handwriting, why would a parent be worried about their handwriting be the same? Like. Uh-huh.
I don't know if she took it as like, clearly it's not mine. It's a kiddish handwriting, or I don't know. I really don't know.
Okay, let's put it in this way. I know this is a whole lot of sidetracking and stuff, but I'm trying to get to the bottom of this case because I'm sure they're still missing. So if hopefully this never happens, let's just make up a child. Say you had another child and they go missing and the cops ask you to write something down, would you, or would you be offended that you're like a suspect?
I would do it. I might be offended like inside if they were accusing me, but I know parents are always the first to be accused and husbands and wives are always the first to be accused.
So yeah. That's why I was asking, because here's the thing, even though if it was like my scenario, and I had an imaginary child that went missing, you know, because I don't want to even put that on my child.
Yeah.
So just a random, you know, imaginary child of mine. If they was to ask me, I would understand. I would be aggravated because I would be like, look, I know I didn't do it. So you're wasting time getting this. But at the same point, I would understand and be like, I didn't do it. Here's my handwriting.
Yeah.
Like, so I kind of see. Yeah. I kind of see. Like, if you just go ahead and do it, then it's going to be a whole lot faster.
Yeah.
Like, and then they can just move on from you. But if you did do it, then that's, and you're like, no, because they're going to know that I pushed down this hard right in or whatever, then, I mean, the only way I would deny it is if I was guilty, which, I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. So, That was one thing she did. And then she also would not let police talk to her two other daughters right away. Like, she eventually did, but right away she was like, no, you're not talking to my daughters. The police are not talking to Rita and Victoria.
Okay, I understand that. If I had four imaginary kids, and I'm just saying, I know this is like not imaginary, but I also don't want to like.
I got you. I understand. But like, if I have four imaginary kids, and I'm like, there's no way I would even imagine that I have four kids.
My four imaginary angels that are precious and whatever. Anyways, if two of them went missing, that's already enough to like scar the sisters.
Mm-hmm.
So why would I let the cops interrogate them and scare them more? So that I completely agree with.
Well, something that I don't really agree with, Tracy does next. And it's a tape comes out a few days later and cops are like, hey, we, you know, have questions about this tape. Can you come down? Can you look to see if this is your girls that were, you know, found on footage at a convenience store? You know, just kind of like they wanted her to come to view the tape, to see what she thought, to get her. She basically says no.
What?
Yeah. She did not hurry down to the station whatsoever. She did go down a few days later, but she was in no hurry.
No, that's no.
And I'm like, what in the world? You have people wanting to question you if these are your girls. Like, how do you know it's not them? Why are you not running to check if these are your girls?
Right. Like, that's just, if they were my imaginary girls, I'd be like, okay, here they are. At least we have some kind of a lead. Who's around them? Did they walk in with somebody? Did they walk out with somebody? Did somebody pick them up when they were there? Like, mm-hmm.
So she got a lot of crap from the press. And I can see why she did. But at the same time, her lawyer was telling her to do these things. So it's like her lawyer was, do not go down there. Do not do this. Do not do that. I don't know if
truly did the lawyer know if she did something?
I don't know. But I mean, it's like if the lawyer wasn't involved, would she have done things quicker and better? I don't really know.
Yes, we'll never, ever know.
But the girls, their great aunt Sheila, she went to the press, and we'll hear about Sheila a lot throughout this episode. But she goes to the press and the police, and she tells them, she's like, I don't think Tiana wrote this letter. Like, it does not sound like her. If the words were being spoke, like, she would not say it the way this was wrote. She's like, these are not the words that she would say. I feel like a kidnapper either coached her or forced her into writing this letter, and she basically wrote what they told her. So then the great aunt says something else, and she's like, two men were in the apartment that day that the girls vanished. And she quoted, whoever it was.
How does she know two men were in there?
I don't know. But this is all I know. She quoted this, though, Tamara. She said, whoever it was knew the girls were alone, end quote. But I could not find out anything else about who it could have been, why they were in the apartment. Are they, you know, a suspect? Nothing.
Well, here's the thing you hear about a lot of times. If the mom is going to work every day and they're watching, then of course they're going to know that they're alone and when to do whatever they're going to do. Like, So that to me is not a huge shocker that they knew that they were alone, because they were probably being watched if it wasn't the mom.
Yeah.
So I don't really know how to take if she's suspicious, or like you said, it was the lawyer. I don't know.
The next big break that we hear is about a voicemail that Tracy receives. I don't know really too much about this voicemail, like exactly when the voicemail was made, what time, whose phone it was left on. But all we know is on the morning that she went missing, the daughter actually called her mom while she was at work and left a voicemail on a phone. The voicemail says, and this is quote, "Ma, this is Tiana. Pick up the phone. Ma, George is at the door. He says we're coming to pick you up from work and we're going to Jules to get a cake." And then the voicemail ends.
Who's George? And I don't know if I have cold chills because the temperature literally just dropped or...
No, I got cold chills too. I got them too. But
because I got super duper cold and had cold chills. So the cold chills went away. So I'm sure it was the story. So can they not trace the phone call? Like,
well,
maybe we should be detectives.
We should be detectives. But the crazy thing is like the voicemail got deleted. We don't know if the cops deleted. We don't know if the cops deleted, the mom deleted it, how it got deleted. We don't know anything exactly like
when it was made. Why would the cops delete it?
Well, see, the cops never made a big deal about it and said anything about it. So, like, a one thing that I was listening to, they're like, well, maybe since the cops didn't, like, press it as much, maybe it was a mistake that they made on their side, and they're kind of like covering up that they accidentally deleted it and wasn't able to retrace it. Because we, from what I've seen, I believe the cops heard it, but the voicemail has since disappeared.
My clumsiness self, that would be me, like, oh my gosh, look what we have. Go to play it and it's deleted. And I'd be like, oh, sorry, guys.
Yeah. But anyways, the crazy thing about the story is, remember in the beginning I told you there was a guy that was staying with Tracy that had the side chick? Do you remember his name?
Wait, I thought that was Dad.
Yeah, Dad's name is George.
So they call... Okay, wait a minute. But if she's a single mom, then she ain't no side chick. She just ain't baby mama.
George, baby mama and Tracy, I don't think they were legit a couple.
Okay, so then the other lady won't be a side chick. She'll just be the other chick. So sorry, George. Maybe you don't have a side chick. We ain't trying to break up your relationship. Unless you are. Unless you really got a side chick, then, you know, you need to stop.
Then George? Diamond's dad? There could have been another George that the family knew. So, Grant Sheila, like I said, that she's going to be making appearances throughout this, you know, episode.
Who?
Sheila, their aunt, their great aunt.
Okay. Look, you got to, this is a whole messy situation and I'm driving. You got to bear with me.
So Sheila is the aunt who has like all the tea. She's got all the gossip.
So how's she getting all the gossip? Is she just making up the gossip or are people telling her and she ain't telling the cops?
Well, I like, feel like she's
what's
just...
going on? I feel like we need to talk to her. Just be like, what up?
I don't know, because
not legit talk to her, but you know what I'm saying? Like, detective to talk.
Yeah. So, she tells cops and press, she's like, well, there's George Washington, who was Diamond's dad.
And I'm thinking, I'm like, okay, she over here making up names.
His legit name is George Washington.
Okay.
And then,
President George Washington. Well, I'm sorry. I should not be making fun. Go ahead.
Okay. And then she said there's another man named George, but we don't know his last name, but he's a close friend to the family who used to babysit the girls from time to time. So we don't know much about the other one. And because the voicemail didn't really say like who, you know, it was, all we know is there was a George at the door. And I think it's kind of weird that the girls called about George and was like, hey, George is on the other side of the door talking to them about getting a cake. And they never wrote anything about George in the note.
Right.
So honestly, I feel like there's more proof of whoever was on the other side of the door. She knew them and then they knew her because the girls, you know, mentioned that they were going to go get a cake. You remember?
Right.
Well, the day after the girls went missing was Victoria's birthday.
Which was a little girl.
Yeah, the 9-year-old. And she said in a statement later on that they did. I mean, like, here recently that it took her 10 years before she could celebrate her birthday because it was just so traumatic. But again, we don't know much about this voicemail. Like I said, I don't know when it was made, when it was deleted, or anything. And then I couldn't find anything else really about the other George. He never came up. Nothing was ever said about him again. So I don't know if he was a person of interest or not. The FBI learned that Tracy filed a paternity suit against George Washington back in June over Diamond. He was the third man that she sued over Diamond's paternity. So as the summer was going on, cops were searching every inch of the neighborhood. Like I said, they expanded their search to over 20 miles, searching abandoned lots, landfills, abandoned buildings, old factories. They questioned over 100 sex offenders in the area. And I mean, they were just turning turning over stone. Like anything they could think of, they did it and done it. But again, nothing was leading police any closer to what actually happened to the girls. And then as summer ended, tips were starting to slow down, and then all of the public's attention just turned elsewhere because that's when 9/11 happened.
So it was right around that time.
Yeah. So it's like everybody was like big, like helping search, always in the press, and then 9/11 hit, and it's just like nothing. It's like cops still look, but it's like, you know what I mean? It's like they wasn't in the press like they were.
So let me ask you, I know you brought up the George and stuff. Did they question him to see if he went there and what they did and if he took them back? Or I didn't hear anything like that.
They questioned everybody. It's just nobody ended up still a suspect. It was kind of like, okay.
But well, I need to know answers. I need to know which George it was. If they figured out which George it was when they did, if they were like, hey, did you pick up the girls? And then they were just like, yeah. And then be like, okay, so then what happened next? Like, I need those answers.
You and me both. A private investigator was hired and brought in to kind of like just help, have a fresh eye on everything and see if anything he can find would lead to something cops missed, something the family missed. And so they're looking around. Well, almost a year later, exactly, a bone washes up on the shore of Lake Michigan in a bag. In a bag, Tamara. A bone in a bag.
In a bag?
In a bag.
And I'm guessing it was one of theirs?
We'll get there in a second. But this is a south park of the lakefront, just a few blocks away from their apartment. They thought it could possibly be a finger of one of the two girls. After testing it, it turns out to not be a human bone at all. It was an animal bone. So that just gives me more questions.
Oh, why in a bag?
Yes. Like, why was there a single bone in a bag? Like, why?
And so, what kind of animal?
They never said. They just said it was non-human animal bone. But I'm like, okay, was this?
I need all these answers. Like this I think is the most confusing story we've ever did, because we are so like, what about this? Well, what about that? Well, I need to know this. Like,
it's like all these clues, but it's like nothing pans out.
I just don't understand.
So
I just don't.
Almost 2 years exactly after the girls went missing, another lead pops up. But it's not in Chicago where they went missing. It's in
it another animal?
No, it's in Indianapolis, okay? So okay. In June of 2004, a firefighter named Mark was working at this community event in Garfield Park. So while he was there, he notices these two little girls, and he took like a mental note. He's like, these girls kind of like stood out to me because how they acted compared to all the other kids was just different. You know, it's like, there wasn't bad. There wasn't, you know, it was just different. Time goes on, and he said about a month later, he was working and he seen a poster of the missing girls. And it like clicked. He's like, I think that was the girls that I seen before.
Got them chills again.
So he calls and reports that at this time, Diamond and Tiana was supposedly seen at Walmart also. So cops rush down there and they look into it, and it basically is a cold case again. The girls were not them. I don't know, like, if it was just.
But
like,
how can they really like prove it? Because at this point, the 3-year-old is a 5-year-old, so she's going to completely look different than she did.
Uh-huh.
And who's to say whoever like kidnapped them, they didn't change hair colors or, you know, plump them up or whatever, you know, just trying to make them look different. And I mean, the first couple of years, I'd say like the first 6-7 years of your life, every year you change. Like
exactly.
From you're born to your first birthday, you look different. To your second birthday, you look different. Like, how do you really know from 3 to 5?
Yeah, I mean, it's like even Bray, like over this corona quarantine, like he's changed. Like his facial like shape has changed. Like he used to have more of like the slimmer little kid face, and now he's like getting a little like plumper and more defined, like teenagery kind of kiddish face.
He's growing
face.
Up. He's growing up on us.
So sad. So the case goes cold again, which is horrible to, you know, just have that hope that you found your kids just for it to go cold again. But this is where it's kind
of. But here's the real question. Did the mom act weird about this, or did she like jump on it?
I have no clue. I don't know anything else about like how she acted.
Like if she was like, no, I'm not going, it's not them because she done something, or she's like, we still have hope.
Yeah. At the beginning of social media, they had false hope again. In 2008, a MySpace profile popped up, got everyone's attention, thinking that it could be the oldest daughter. So this girl was in the same age range. They looked a lot, but of course it was not her. And
how did they know? Like, how did they really know? Like, what if she was kidnapped and brainwashed to, like, wasn't that girl,
Elizabeth Smart? Is that who you're thinking of?
Yeah, torture. Like, she was still out and about. She wasn't, like, in a basement or anything, but they had her, like, somebody else, so that's why it took so long to find her. Mm-hmm. Was that, like, a thing?
Yeah.
Or am I?
No, it wasn't that. She went out in public and stuff, and it's like people would recognize her, and she's like, oh, no, it's not me, because she was scared that they would go hurt the rest of her family.
Yeah. Okay, so that's what I was thinking, because I know she was found, and she was safe and everything. So maybe it's something like that, where they're like, no, your name is this now, and blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm. Cops were getting tons of tips and leads, but nothing actually like ever panned out. The usual like psychics would call in claiming they had visions of where they were buried. They got tips that the girls were being used as sex slaves. And then they got another tip saying the girls had been taken out of the country by Tiana's biological father. So I'm pretty sure cops like investigated like everything they could, but I don't think that they were taken out of the country by her biological father, because that was like
when
a
they
tip
had to
theory.
Have like records.
Yeah. So it was
I mean,
like
they would have to have plane tickets, and I mean, especially, well, I mean, you don't know when they would have left, but especially with 9/11, everything
shut
really
down.
Well, yeah, one, shut down, but two, got really strict where you have to document everything. Like,
yeah,
if I was to travel, I would have to prove my under 1-year-old daughter is who she is. So there's that proof.
Yeah. In May of last year, like recently, the aunt got a shocking message. The family created basically this Facebook page for the girls. And the aunt posted a post just kind of like, nothing like, I think more like sentimental, like, I miss you, blah, 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 you know, type post. A lady commented saying,
we're trying what?
To, like, I guess come home. Because, like, this post was kind of like, you know, like, I miss you, wish you were here, da, 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 you know, like, whatever. And so she gets a comment saying, we're trying. Well, this lady's name is Layla. She lives down in...
I got chills again. I don't know, because it's now 65 degrees outside or what? So, it's just so convenient at these times where you talk about them that they're okay. I get the chills.
So this lady, she lives down in Texas. She claims to be the older daughter, Tiana, and she doesn't stop there. She says that she's with Diamond. They've been together the whole entire time. Diamond's going to college, and they both have kids now. So you can imagine, like, the family. They're, like, mixed emotions. They're excited. They're nervous. Well, the aunt keeps talking to the lady, and the girl eventually agrees to take a DNA test. So Layla basically knew all the details of the case. And anytime the family would ask something that was more, you know, like hush, hush, that the public wouldn't know, she would get defensive. And she would clam up, and she was like, you should know me. We're family. How dare you ask me this stuff? So they got the PI involved, and turns out Layla is not her real name. She actually goes by multiple names, and her Facebook is fake. And that he also learned she tried to reach out to other family members before she got the aunt. So the whole thing was just a cruel hoax. And for almost two decades, the whereabouts of these girls are still unknown. So,
oh my gosh, why would somebody do that? Like, that's just sick. That's messed up.
So it's almost been 20 years. I think next year will be 20 years exactly since they went missing. So if anyone has any information about the disappearance or whereabout of the two girls.
Like legit information, not this crazy false hope information.
Please call the FBI field agent in Chicago. Their number is 312-421-6700. Because this family is still actively looking and searching and wanting at least answers of what could have happened.
Yeah, I mean, I would too.
But
they're not even my family, and I want answers.
I know. It's like, I have tons of questions that need answers. That was our Missing Monday case.
Our long, long Missing Monday. That is probably going to get shortened.
All right. Are you done? You got anything else you want to say?
Up, I guess if I do, it'd be on the next one here shortly.
Okay, well, see you in a little bit.
Bye. You won't see me for a couple of weeks, but bye.
Bye.